Today, markets, are you confused yet? You should be. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, one that's both covering finance and property news. This is our weekly market update, where we start in the US, cross to Europe and Asia and into Australia, and cover commodities and crypto along the way. MSCI's global equity gauge fell on Friday, while bond yields climbed as investors waited for clues about the future path of interest rates. And Europe's Stoxx 600 index closed down 0.53% earlier, breaking a three-week winning streak as investors sought clarity on Europe's rate policy amid concerns over economic growth and their potential trade war. As we run down to the end of the year, a flurry of central bank rate announcements signaled a confusing picture, with the RBA holding, the ECB cutting as expected alongside Denmark at 25 basis points, and the Swiss bank cutting unexpectedly as it sought to head off gains in its currency, along with Canada both doing a bigger 50 basis point cut. Next week, we have more central bank action, with the Federal Reserve, the Bank of England, and Japan all joining the party. While investors are betting on a quarter point cut at next week's Federal Reserve policy meeting, expectations are rising that the pace of rate cuts is poised to slow, with an 80% probability of a hold in January, while cuts in the UK and Japan are not expected. So you can see that monetary policy is, well, all over the shop. The shadow of President-elect Trump's pledge to impose hefty tariffs on imports from around the globe, especially China, as well as his promise for massive corporate tax cuts, haunts the markets. Those policies are seen as fueling inflation, which has proved sticky even before Trump's plans are executed. In the US, stocks struggled near record highs as the future path for interest rates turned more clouded, with inflation proving to be persistent and Donald Trump's January inauguration fast approaching. The Dow Jones Industrial Average fell 0.2% to 43,828. The S&P 500 fell to 6,051. And the Nasdaq Composite rose 0.12% to 19,924. Nasdaq Composite, which has risen nearly one-third this year, topped and then closed above the 20,000-point mark on Wednesday for the first time, but seven of the S&P 500's 11 industry sectors were lower on the day. Weekly results were also a mixed bag, with the S&P 500 falling 0.64% and the Nasdaq rising 0.34%, while the Dow fell 1.82%. The volatility index was down 0.79% to 1381. In the note, Citigroup strategists said that since the outcome of the US election, there was a pickup in crowding across many cyclical sectors, especially financials, which has become the most crowded sector in the US, Europe, and Japan. The best performers of the session on the Dow was Boeing, which rose 1.13% to trade 169.65 at the close. Meanwhile, Broadcom surged 24.4% to $224.80, lifting its market cap to more than $1 trillion US for the first time after it forecast a surge in sales of AI products. In the note, Bank of America reiterated a buy recommendation and lifted its price target for the stock to $250. Tesla powered higher, going up 4.3% to $436.23. That's the highest ever closing price. It's now risen more than 70% since the November 5th US presidential election. And they announced higher prices for some cars, so the Model S base variant all-wheel drive will now cost $79,990, while the performance plaid variant will cost $94,990. But Cathie Wood's ARK investment strategy, it seems, is to consistently sell Tesla shares and to focus on adding to positions in biotech companies like CRISPR Therapeutics and Tempus AI. In contrast, Nvidia continues to struggle. It's going down 2.3%. It's lost more than 8% in the last month. Wall Street analysts are forecasting the S&P 500 could rise another 10% in 2025, according to data compiled by FactSet's John Butters, but his data points to a far more modest 2.2% advance. but at the end of 2023, the bottom-up price target for the S&P was 5,131, based on Wednesday's closing price of just over 6,084. Analysts underestimated the price of the index by 15.7% at the start of 2024, so who knows? The Nasdaq has clearly rallied on optimism about artificial intelligence, and while the AI story is far from over, along with the Nasdaq's current uptrend, technical evidence suggests the index could be due for a pause or a pullback. Tactically, this implies investors should consider buying dips for index exposure versus chasing the latest rally. The yield on benchmark 10-year notes in the US were up to 4.395%, while the 2-year note, which typically moves in step with interest rate expectations for the Federal Reserve, rose to 4.245%. The rise in yields has confounded some market strategists after the November US CPI and PPI reports mostly met expectations, although inflation is expected to continue to rise above the Fed's 2% target for the foreseeable future. One potential reason cited for the selling pressure was new supply from US Treasury auctions this week as well. In currencies, the dollar index saw its biggest weekly gain in a month on the prospect of slower US rate cuts. On the day, the index, which measures the greenback against a basket of currencies, fell to 106.94. The euro rose 0.32% to 1.0503, clawing back some recent losses in the wake of the European Central Bank's rate cut on Thursday. Against the Japanese yen, the dollar strengthened 0.66% to $153.70, having risen all week as traders scaled back bets of a Bank of Japan rate hike next week. Sterling weakened 0.4% to 1.2612 after a surprising contraction in UK economic activity. In energy markets, oil prices settled at a three-week high on expectations of more sanctions on Russia and Iran could tighten supplies and that lower US and European interest rates could boost fuel demand. US crude settled at 1.8% to $71.29 a barrel, and Brent settled at $74.35 per barrel. That's up 1.5% on the day. But OPEC cut its forecast for global oil demand in 2024 for a fifth month in a row, with the biggest reduction so far. This highlights how China's slower demand is affecting the global market. OPEC Plus recently decided to delay increasing oil production until April 2025 because of falling prices. In precious metals, gold futures were at $2,675.80 an ounce, well off recent highs, and silver followed suit. Cash in money markets rose by about $824 billion this year, according to Crane data, dashing expectations that it would find a home in stocks or bonds as the Federal Reserve began cutting interest rates. Proponents of the asset class have said they are happy earning rates of around 4%, far above the near zero return cash was paying just a few years ago, with comparatively little risk. But sitting on the sidelines has come at a cost. The S&P 500 is up around 27% this year, gold is up 30%, and the Russell 2000 index of small caps companies is up more than 17%. But cash in money markets stood at $7.124 trillion as at December the 5th. That's according to the Crane data. Some on Wall Street believe a proportion could be redeployed in 2025 as rate cuts shrink money market yields and the opportunity cost of staying out of stocks and bonds grows. European stocks slipped on Friday, taking the main benchmark to its first weekly decline in three as investors sought clarity on the pace of monetary easing in the Eurozone next year, amid concerns over slowing economic growth and a potential trade war. The UK economy shrank by 0.1% in October, according to data released earlier on Friday, marking its second consecutive monthly contraction, and came as a surprise as a minor rebound from September's weakness had been expected. The contraction adds to concerns about the region's economic outlook as businesses and households navigate persistent inflationary pressures and elevated borrowing costs. The FTSE was down slightly to 8,300. At the same time, German exports fell by 2.8% in October. That's more than expected, an indication that the long-awaited recovery in external demand has been delayed. consumer prices in France were up 1.7% year-on-year in November, in line with its preliminary reading published late last month. The DAX was near an all-time high, with most companies listed on the index not heavily exposed to domestic factors, and it was at 20,391. Still, the European Central Bank has responded to this weakness, cutting interest rates on Thursday by 25 basis points. That's the fourth cut this year, and signaled the potential for more reductions in 2025. Four European Central Bank policymakers backed further interest rate cuts on Friday, provided that inflation settles at the ECB's 2% goal as expected. Traders are pricing in rate cuts of more than 100 basis points by the end of next year. Elsewhere, the Swiss National Bank surprised markets with a larger than expected 50 basis point cut, while Denmark's central bank trimmed its rates by 25 basis points. Stock markets have been choppy this year as investors digested stimulus updates from China, inflation data from the US and the Eurozone, as well as the European Central Bank's fourth rate cut of the year on Thursday. France's CAC 40 slipped 0.1% to 7,490 as investors assess whether a new government led by François Bayrou can tackle France's fiscal problems. His immediate priority will be passing a special law to roll over the 2024 budget, with a nastier battle over the belt-tightening 2025 legislation looming early next year. And German politics are also in focus, with German Chancellor Olaf Scholz expected to hold a vote of confidence in Parliament on Monday, a move that would pave the way to snap elections following the collapse of his three-way governing coalition. The Bundesbank also said that Germany's economy will shrink for a second year in a row this year, and its recovery will be lackluster, potentially exacerbated by a trade war with the US. The outlook for 2025 is similarly subdued, with an estimated growth of just 0.2%, down from an earlier estimate of 1.1%. This revised forecast was announced on Friday, indicating a potential further decline if the US imposes new trade tariffs. The central bank anticipated inflation will gradually stabilize at around 2% over the coming years, influenced by the tightening of monetary policy and reduced pressure from labor costs. In Asia, Asian stocks fell sharply on Friday, tracking overnight losses on Wall Street, while Chinese shares slumped as policy updates from a high-profile legislative meeting failed to deliver large-scale economic stimulus, again as expected. China's Shanghai Composite fell 1.8%, while Shanghai's Shenzhen CSI 300 index declined 2%. Hong Kong's Hang Seng slumped 1.9%, with the three largely lagging their Asian peers. Investors were disappointed by the lack of aggressive stimulus measures following updates from China's Central Economic Work Conference, the CEWC. That's a two-day meeting which concluded on Thursday. Both the Politburo and the CEWC look more like a policy recap of the stimulus measures in the past months rather than a new supportive deal to the economy. Most policy options have already been implemented or discussed by ministries at previous press briefings, and the question of the stimulus ahead will not be what, but how much, ANS analyst wrote in the note. A state media readout showed that China has pledged to boost its budget deficit, increase debt issuance, and ease monetary policy to sustain economic growth amid anticipated trade tensions with the US, but markets saw the policies unlikely to provide the immediate economic momentum needed to counteract China's deflationary pressures. At the CEWC, Beijing set targets for economic growth, the budget deficit, debt issuance, and other variables for the year ahead. The targets are agreed at the meeting, but won't be officially released until an annual parliament meeting in March. Sentiment towards Chinese stocks have improved in recent times after the government provided more verbal signals on stimulus, so Morgan Stanley recommended seeking more clarity on the policy execution. We recommend exercising caution until clarity emerges on policy follow through, MS analysts said in the note. The investment bank warned that pressures on Chinese company earnings, a weakening yuan, expectations of a more hawkish US stance towards China, and the prospect of a renewed trade war all remained major risks for local markets. The biggest headwind for Chinese stocks going into 2025 is the prospect of increased US trade tariffs under President Donald Trump. China is likely to retaliate with its own measures, pressurizing global trade. Japan's Nikkei 225 fell 1.3%, and the Topix declined 1.4% ahead of the Bank of Japan's policy meeting due next week. Shares in Bandai Holdings rose to 52-week highs, up 7.09%. The Nikkei Volatility Index, which measures the implied volatility of the Nikkei 225, was down 0.71% to 2163. The central bank is leaning towards maintaining its current interest rates next week as officials seek more time to evaluate global risks and the outlook for wages growth in 2024. The Bank of Japan's policy decision set for December 18th, 19th will follow closely on the heels of the US Federal Reserve's meeting. A surprise move by the Fed, such as holding rates steady and triggering a dollar surge, could prompt the Bank of Japan to act in response to a potential yen depreciation. Bucking the regional trend, shares in South Korea's KOSPI index inched 0.3% higher ahead of the parliamentary vote to impeach the country's president, Yoon Suk-yeol. Elsewhere, India's Nifty 50 gained 0.96% to hit a one-month high. India's stock market has entered its longest bull run, surpassing the 2003-08 rally in duration, but has delivered only a third of its cumulative returns. Morgan Stanley analysts believe the current market, marked by low volatility and strong relative gains against emerging markets, still has room to grow. The ongoing rally, which began in March 2020 during the pandemic's early uncertainty, has been supported by several macroeconomic factors and structural shifts, they say. India's nominal GDP is expected to grow by 10 to 11% annually over the next 5 years, with corporate earnings likely compounding at 18 to 20%. Improved corporate balance sheets, rising private investments, and favorable external dynamics, such as reduced oil dependency, bolsters the earnings outlook. The Australian share market, though, suffered its worst week since August as investors booked profits ahead of a widely expected interest rate cut from the Federal Reserve at its last policy meeting of the year. The ASX 200 ended the session 0.4% lower at 8,296. That's the lowest level in 4 weeks. The index fell 1.5% in the week, the largest decline since early August, and the All Ords also lost 0.4%. Of the 11 sectors, 9 retreated, with sharp losses in miners, as Beijing's pledge to boost its economy failed to lift investor sentiment. Iron ore prices traded in Singapore slumped 2.4% to below $104. BHP Group lost 1.5% to $41.17. Rio Tinto tumbled 2.8% to $120.72. Also weighed by news that it had committed $2.5 billion to expand its lithium project in Argentina. Fortescue skidded 3.7% to $19.48, further undermined by a downgrade to hold by broker Morgan's due to governance concerns. Gold miners all suffered deep losses, with St Barbara down more than 7% despite higher prices of bullion. Software provider Iris was among the top gainers, leaping 8.2% to $9.38 after it reaffirmed earnings guidance of $126 million to $132 million for fiscal year 24 and announced the reinstatement of dividends. Financial services giant Insignia Financial jumped 6.2% to $3.61 after it received a takeover bid from Bain Capital at $4 a share. The shares climbed to an intraday high of 3.725, a peak last seen 3 years ago. Data center landlord Digico Infrastructure REIT had a lackluster start on the ASX. It closed at $4.55 in its first session on the market. That's down from an IPO of $5. And meanwhile, Digico parent HMC Capital, led by dealmaker David DePillia, was the biggest laggard in the index, down 7.2% to $11.26. In other corporate news, insurer Steadfast Group slipped 0.5% to $5.77 after it emerged two employees are under investigation for insider trading. And in commodities, Resolute Mining retreated 1.2% to 43 cents after chief executive Terry Holohan announced he was taking a leave of absence until late January. And South 32 swung to a 1.2% loss. That's $3.40, despite receiving the backing of Western Australia's environmental minister to extend the life of its Worsley Alumina project, trumping concerns from the state's environmental watchdog. Now, the staggering rally in Commonwealth Bank is expected to extend into 2025 as money from retail investors and Australia's superannuation giants keeps pushing the shares to new peaks, defying market expectations. The country's largest bank has already advanced 39% this year and briefly traded above $160 for the first time, making it the world's most expensive bank stock ahead of Wall Street's top investment banks. The majority of brokers are still rating CBA as a sell because of its lofty valuation, and fund managers are underweight, meaning they own fewer shares than Commonwealth banks waiting on the ASX 200, and short sellers, including Regal Partners, are betting on a sell down. It seems hard to believe that CBA is not only the world's best bank, but the world's best bank by a mile, one analyst said. And brokers argue that this should make CBA shareholders wary. But as the shares grind higher, analysts say retail investors are reluctant to take profits, fund managers are starting to capitulate and are adding to their holdings, and super funds worried about performance will keep pumping money into the ASX 200, of which CBA accounts for more than 10%. The share price has gone up so much and the dividend yield has fallen so low to 2.95% unfranked that investors can earn higher annual income on a term deposit or investing in CBA's junior or subordinated bonds. CBA equity looks excessively priced, with a price-to-earnings ratio higher than Google, said Sebastian Mullins, head of multi-asset and fixed income at Schroders Australia. Analysts often compare CBA's punchy valuation to that of CSL, Australia's largest biotechnology company. Just 2 years ago, the blue chip stocks were equally weighted on the ASX 200. Today, CSL accounts for roughly half the weighting of CBA at 5.3%, yet both trade at the same price-earnings ratio of around 28 times. The price action of the US dollar, Aussie dollar has tumbled as expected, and in fact the Aussie dollar was the worst performer among the major currencies. It shed about 2.7% against the US dollar, based on a one-month rolling basis, up to the 13th of December. Even though the RBA maintained its policy cash rate at 4.35% during its last monthly policy meeting on Tuesday, unchanged for the ninth consecutive month, RBA Governor Michelle Bullock did sound a little less hawkish versus her prior press conferences. In fact, during her press conference on Tuesday, she highlighted inflationary pressures had declined in Australia, and the RBA have also taken notice of the weakness in the private sector of the economy. Hence, it's a bit of a dovish tilt that moves in line with the tonality of RBA's latest monetary statement, which stated that some of the upside risks to inflation appear to have eased. But anyway, the Aussie was last at 63.63 US cents and 50.45 UK pence. Ouch. Finally, Bitcoin was once again touching 100,000 US as Bitcoin proponent Michael Saylor tweeted, "We are all competing for $45 million worth of Bitcoin mined daily." Curiously, earlier this week, another big Bitcoin supporter, the chief executive at Jan3, Samson Mao, shared that he expects miners to stop selling the Bitcoin they mint in the near future, and he urged the market to be prepared for that and plan their Bitcoin accumulation accordingly. Earlier this week, Saylor commented on a Bitcoin warning tweet published by Binance founder CZ. He issued a major reminder that more than 19 million Bitcoin from the 21 million have been mined already. Saylor tweeted that the crypto space is running out of Bitcoin. Well, it was last at 101,300 and will likely wobble around that level for some time. Actually, given significant uncertainty ahead, generally markets are overvalued and prone to volatility and potential falls. So cash returning 4 or 5% relatively risk-free still looks, well, a pretty good option for now. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.